The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh, man, it's hot out. Kind of like summer's supposed to be. Got a turtle. Felt sorry. Went to the pet store. You know, it's dangerous walking around the pet store. Anyway, the turtle, who's been with us now a couple months or so, is enjoying the weather. And one of those things that you learn as you go is these turtles can be really interactive and really hungry. And I've been reading turtle books to figure out what to do with the turtle to make sure I'm doing everything right. And I do have a little bit of background on turtles, but the one thing they point out is don't let the turtle trick you into overfeeding them, because they put on their big turtle eyes and you overfeed them, and you know, then they get nice and hefty from there. So we're trying not to do that, because I had no idea how they could just really get you. The other thing with that is we had some kittens that we thought we were going to adopt because they showed up in the driveway. So immediately, not knowing where they came from, they just came over and made themselves at home. And these are tiny kittens. Kittens is really, the starter set. Anyway, went and got a little kitten food, already had a kitten condo that we created, just kind of manufactured it. My husband put together some things and made it like a two-story kitten condo. And then the next day, the neighbor showed up with her two sons, her two little boys, said, have you seen some kittens? So we showed them the kitten condo, and the boy said, Mom, can we have toys? Because having already been pet parents of various sorts of pets, we had it. We were ready. So it starts out with pet news. And the study that they're doing, getting some more PR support for the cancer dogs, cancer-sniffing dogs. There was a documentary that a woman I was in contact with 2 or 3 years ago was trying to put out. And the funding, of course, is always an issue with this. And along with that, just the fact that this is an incredible approach that needs basically more PR, because this isn't fiction. It's fact. The cancer dogs do know what they're doing. And it's just one of those things that we are, I guess, a little bit baffled by the abilities that some of our animals have. But that one is legit. And check that out. I've got some stuff posted on Facebook, but it's one of those things that it's worth following through on, because it's fantastic the kinds of things that they're finally, you know, putting the dots together and figuring out we can do some of these things without a lot of invasive technology. One thing that is changing that is really fantastic, Mary Lou Jepsen left an exec position at Facebook. She's a head honcho for a lot of things that involved optics. And one of the things she's predicting is that we will be able to do things, basically put a cap on your head, you'll have ESP. And she says as soon as 8 years. That's a really, intense and optimistic and mind-blowing kind of thing. But when you look at that and what she does, the things right now that she's trying to and succeeding at is an MRI hat. She had a brain injury, and so she's been on the surgery end of this and would prefer not to ever have to go through that again. But what she's developing, and the reason she left Facebook, was because she wanted to be able to do something for people that would basically create a legacy. She was at Oculus, Google X, and Intel. So she's also invented, in her spare time, over 100 patents, and that's just the short list. So anyway, this stuff about, you know, innovative ways of changing our tech and changing our view of how we can diagnose health issues is fantastic right now. The good news, Nessie has been sighted again. Loch Ness. This is only the second sighting this year. There's been a real lull over there, according to the guy who sits there and watches every day in his trailer. I think he's got the best job. The official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register has listed this one as the second unexplained sighting. Now, an Aussie couple, was driving along, on vacation. They're driving along, and they said they were just looking out, and on the western side of the lake. I said to Pip, "What's that? You don't stop a car unless you see something special at that point." So they jumped out over a fence and then took four or five snaps. They said it was a large thing moving very fast and then gone. They said it wasn't a person. The water's like 5 degrees, so it couldn't have been, a pleasure, whatever it was. Anyway, they also were really surprised at how serious everybody got about their sighting, because they were, excited. But then it got even more exciting as everybody else like, "Oh, yeah, it's active again." So anyway, I posted a picture on Facebook and the first comment was, "It looks like a duck." I can assure you that was a duck. Okay, well, the perspective might add a little bit more to that. But that's a cool one. The thing that has to go on Wendy's Coffee House is the Coffee Lover's Diet, the book by Bob Arnott. Of course, Bob's got all sorts of wonderful expertise and background. And this book is supposed to tell you how coffee is good for your health. And I don't think it really concerns most people whether it's good or bad. It's just like, I need coffee, we're good. But if you do need that little perk that says it's not so bad and there are some benefits and it's not going to kill you as fast as some of the people who don't, who are all worried about the caffeine are saying. One guy went on the thing that they do the reviews. "Well, as a 20 cup a day drinker, I vouch for this book." I'm like, okay, that might be just a little bit overkill. And we're not sure if that's a real legit review, but there you go. My guest, Wendy Coulter, she's an intuitive, medical intuitive. The Practical Path is her site. I'm going to talk with her in just a few minutes. But first, the things that, we're talking about now that seem like they're so far out. The science fiction stuff that, and I started posting sci-fi stuff on Wendy's Coffee House just because there's some fabulous internet, just the YouTube videos. Dust is one of the categories that you can subscribe to. And they put out, these are short films that, just the cutting edge sci-fi stuff. And some of them, they are good enough, they should be made into a feature. But this is where they get the start and they get the, maybe a Kickstarter or some crowdfunding to go ahead and go to the next step, like the show Downward Dog did. They were really successful as a little film on YouTube on, just that's it. And then they were hoping for maybe a movie. Instead, they got the television show. And, of course, it was so good it was canceled. Okay, back to the science fiction. Back to the science fiction things. Pretty in Pink, the computer. Instant messaging. That was back when we had no idea. And we didn't, that was, if you wanted to get on AOL and that dial tone thing happened forever. Star Trek. The Replicator 3D printers. Yeah. Okay. Then we also have the Star Trek virtual display device, Google Glass. Star Trek's given us a whole lot of good stuff. The medical tricorder, Scanadu Scout. And what this does, it diagnoses anything. And it's kind of like WebMD, they say, without the hypochondria. It gives you the vitals. And you put it at your temple, and there you go. You know what's going on. Flip phones, Star Trek communicator, yep. One of my favorites is from Ender's Game. I don't know if you've seen that. Ender's Game, the anti-gravity battle room, indoor skydiving came from there. So this stuff, it may sound, beyond belief. That's what I'm thinking about, the telepathy, the hat that will be able to read somebody else's mind. That's amazing. The stuff that we're doing with AI right now is mind-boggling. Oh, isn't that? Yeah, okay, Freudian. Wendy Coulter, The Practical Path, Master Healer, Medical Intuitive, Clairvoyant. We're going to pick her brain just a little bit, see what she can tell us about that kind of stuff. Next on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're having a good night, good day, whatever time you're listening to this. Thank you. I have an incredible audience in Japan. That's really exciting to see some of the places that this show goes. So it's just amazing. Wendy Coulter, The Practical Path. She's a medical intuitive, clairvoyant, teacher, minister, transformational coach. She has a long laundry list of things that she's accomplished at. So we're just going to let her, take the stage here and help us out. I was talking about a psychic hat earlier. There's a woman who, a former Google exec, who has an incredible resume. And she says that we could be using a telepathic hat, the equivalent, that technology could give us the ability to be telepathic in 8 years. That's just, really quick in if you think about it. But I just thought, well, good grief, I'm going to throw that at you and think, all right, Where are you going to go with that? Do you believe that? Do you think that's possible?
Oh, hey, you know, I'm very much involved with people who are studying the science of, you know, things along these lines. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if we had a telepathic hat in 8 years.
I was just like, my. I mean, and I know reading all the stuff that Ingo Swann and some of the guys who were part of that Psychic Spies program talk about, and they're just like, this is normal, folks. Get over it. Please get with it. Stop denying it and stop all the, you know, submarining of this information, this content. This is real. It's happening. It's been going on for years. It's improving. We're evolving. And there are some credible things coming down the pike if we just get rid of that, the disbelief and some of the skepticism that doesn't even allow the research to go forward. So that's why with what you have been doing, you've been involved with some of this with your original, back in the day, you started out using with Louise Hay and getting, I guess, at an early age, just really up to your neck in all this wonderful information and incredible, I guess, cohorts, you know, fellow people who were getting into the metaphysics and psi stuff out in L.A. and California, where it was okay, instead of in the Midwest, where Lynn Buchanan, I think, said when they found out that he could put a rock through a piece of metal, they immediately tried to get the devil out of him. That's true.
Yeah, you know, the thing about intuition of any kind, and there are many kinds of intuition, is that everybody is intuitive on some level, and we have these cultural understandings of gut feelings and, you know, hunches and women's intuition and things like that. We have cultural names for it, but we don't have a cultural acceptance of it yet. So, yes, this has been a long, fun and interesting place of study for me for many, many years.
Okay, now what came first, the psychic stuff or the exec? Because you were an executive in the music industry.
I actually started out professionally in music at a very young age, and my interest in metaphysics kind of walked alongside of that. I had basically two tracks of interest in my life, and ended up doing a lot in music over the years and working for some of the biggest music publishing companies in the country, and had a great career in that. But at some point, you know, the intuitive stuff was really calling to me, and I wanted to expand on that.
Well, what was the difference? I mean, because you're talking high pressure, a lot of competition, and a certain mindset that puts you in that industry.
You're talking about the music business?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, you know, I started out, I'll talk about my background. I started out with an understanding of clairaudience, which is an intuitive skill set that uses your ears. In other words, you're hearing things that are not actually hearable out there in the world. And I would hear music. And I remember one time when I was very, very young, I was about 6 years old, and I was humming a song in my head, and I asked my mother to turn the radio on because there was a song that I really liked that was playing. I thought everybody could do this, you know? And that happened to me throughout my life until I got old enough for my girlfriends to start teasing me, and then I stopped talking about it. And that's another experience that intuitive people have, is being kind of shushed up about it. And that did happen to me until much later, when I started really developing these on a more studious level. I started studying metaphysics and studying how to develop my intuition and intuitive skills.
Well, you talked about... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then I taught the clairvoyant program and the energy medicine program at a very venerable school of metaphysical studies here in Los Angeles. And I was on staff teaching that program, those two programs, for about 6 years. So I got very comfortable teaching people how to develop their intuition.
And that's what I was going to mention. You talked about, you know, it's normal for people to have insights. It's normal to have that flash, that recognition, precognition, whatever. But what the next step is learning to develop that and take it out for possibly a whole reading or a whole session.
That's exactly right. Everybody seems to have a flash of intuition. When I talk about the different kinds of intuitive abilities there are, everybody recognizes themselves in at least one, you know, even if you just had a gut feeling about something and it turned out to be right. So developing that is a language, like learning a new language. It's very much like that, actually. So it takes the right kind of training and the right kind of time and persistence and practice, and you can develop it. Or you can get a hat.
Okay, that's 8 years away at least. All right, so no, we want that a little quicker. Maybe 6 months is pushing it, but you know,
sure.
Maybe a year and a half possibly. If we take your course, what is it like?
My course is 4 months for the basic training, so that's not very long.
Yay, okay.
8 months for the advanced training, and another. I mean, total, at another 4 months if you want to do the electives for the master level. So it's really a one-month program all up, and people can take it in pieces or however they want to do it.
Okay, that's accelerated, all right? There's a whole lot.
Yes, it is.
A whole lot more practical than I had.
It's a very fast-track program, and the reason it is because I teach people in the healthcare field, doctors, nurses, acupuncturists, chiropractors, things like that. These are people who want to start using this skill in their practice right away. That's how it's designed. That's how I designed my program. Most training programs that teach metaphysics are much, much longer than that, and they have a lot of maybe information that's not quite as usable right away.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about the certified master healer portion of this, that I think is the curious thing is, how do you get certified as a master healer? What are the requirements? Who's the person who says that you have passed, that you've achieved a certain level of competence? How do you judge that?
Great question. My particular modality, I studied a lot of different modalities over the years, many, many kinds, including Reiki. I started in Reiki. And I developed over the years my own version of energy healing, using a lot of different techniques and things that I also intuited and connected and downloaded, as the people like to say these days. And I developed my own version. However, I'm certified in the particular modality that the school I studied at taught. And that certification came from, that was about a year and a half training, and a lot of hands-on practice in the practice room, and the teacher gave us the certification when she felt we had assimilated the material and we could practice as professionals. And that's that certification. And any good energy medicine program is going to have a certification with it. When you take all the levels or all the aspects of the training, you'll get a certification in that.
What is that like? I mean, this is, again, if somebody who's listening to this and is curious about it and wants to know, well, how do you use your hands? Do you use your mind? What is entailed in being, is this an insight thing? How does this work?
In terms of being a medical intuitive, that's
correct.
Different than being a healer. I make a very strong distinction between medical intuition, which is a visual intuitive skill set, and the energy healing, which is a wonderful modality. And there are lots and lots of modalities. There's Reiki, there's pranic healing, there's healing touch, et cetera, et cetera. Those are wonderful energy modalities. Medical intuition is a skill set that is a foundation for any healing modality, including Western medicine. It's a way to use your intuition to work with the client's physicality, their bodies, and their energy systems, their chakra system and their aura system. So when I work with a client as a medical intuitive, what I'm doing is I'm looking at their physicality, their bodies, their anatomies, as if I was looking at an MRI or a functional MRI, something that's actually in real time and moving. And I do that in my mind's eye. So that's the visual part, the clairvoyant part, meaning clear seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a skill set that I've developed over the years, and I can teach, and I've taught many, many doctors and nurses and medical professionals how to use this. And it's extremely valuable because I can see into the body and see what's going on there physically for someone. And I can also see, and this is where an MRI doesn't work, I can see what started it, where this began in their life history, usually from a traumatic event or a series of traumas. But these things can create chronic situations, chronic health problems for people, things that come up out of the blue, maybe out of nowhere. How did this happen? Well, there's always a root. And that is one of the main tenets of mind-body medicine.
See, that I think is what is more powerful, because when you are able to identify the emotion, the trauma, where it started, then you can actually go back to the source rather than just continuing to try and cover it up.
Yeah, and, you know, energy healers will tell you, and certainly people in that medical field will tell you, that no matter what interventions or what medicines or what treatments they try, sometimes people just come back and back and back again with the same issue. And certainly psychologists understand this. You know, people who have chronic patterns of behavior, these things just keep coming back. It takes a lot to untie that or heal from these things. But as a medical intuitive, what I'm going to look for is where this thing started, bring it up to the person's awareness so they have more ability to release and actually heal more permanently. It's really quite phenomenal.
One of the things I remember seeing, and it's been maybe 15 or 20 years ago, I saw an energy healer and an intuitive. I don't remember what she called herself at the time, but what she did, the person stood up in the front of the room, and it's a crowd of people. It was at an IONS group or something like that. And then they demonstrated how this woman worked. And so she had the woman, so she looked at her back, and she would move her own body basically just across. And it was about 12 feet. She was about 12 feet behind the other woman. And you would see her as she moved her hand to move the muscles in place of the other woman's body. And when she did that, this woman could not see her. She could not see what was being moved. And her body responded to this woman's movements of her fingers as she went through and realigned her spine. And after she was done, she said, "Wow, that feels amazing," because she could feel this realignment. And then she, the psychic intuitive medical intuitive sat down like, "Yep, another day at the office."
Yeah, she was a healer, absolutely a healer. And if she was using her visual interior, like her mind's eye sight, to do her work, that's absolutely a medical intuitive thing. She was also including her healing modality with it, and that's phenomenal. And that's a wonderful thing. There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of very interesting things. What I teach is not the energy modality part necessarily. I teach the visual part. And that's where we can really dig into the, so, okay, so this woman was realigning her spine, but where is the information for this client or this patient on why the spine was out of alignment in the first place, and can she prevent it from going out of alignment in the future? And that's where medical intuition really works, because those are the questions I'm asking of someone's body and of someone's guidance and of someone's energy or whatever. And that's what I want to find out.
Okay. We're probably going to have to take a break here in just 15 seconds or so. I want you to, if someone were to ask for you to work on them, I want you to explain what it's like. Do you take a picture? Is it remote? Is it what criteria do you look for when you're doing a reading for somebody and you're trying to help them address this issue and where it starts? And when you're talking about what do you see color? Do you see bones? Do you see notes? You know, that the thing that you talked about being the musical element where you knew what was playing before it was anybody else heard it, that factors in somehow. So I'm just, go ahead, think about that. We'll come back and talk about that after the break, okay? All right.
Okay.
We're talking with Wendy Coulter, The Practical Path, Master Healer, Medical Intuitive, and Full of Surprises. Yeah, you bet, on Wendy's Coffee House.
KCMOTalkRadio.com.
Hi there, it's Wendy's Coffee House. We are finding so many incredible things that maybe one time were thought to be fiction, fantasy, illusion, delusion, are real. One of those is our ability to do things with our mind. That telepathy, psychic element is very real. And why I wanted Wendy to draw this out or spell it out or give us a picture, because it's always interesting to find out how somebody else does the work, because each and every one, when I've talked to healers and intuitives, they all have their own special way of seeing, being, doing. And it helps, because sometimes that element, you can incorporate it into your own work and then add a few other elements, like she said that she did, to come up with the way she approaches things and come up with something that's unique to you, that's effective. And that's what this is about. So when you see these things, can you describe a session or what you do, you know, how you set it up and how it works for you in a way that would, you know, for somebody who is maybe a little bit versed in this, but still curious about how yours works Can you help?
Sure, absolutely. When I look at someone's physical issues, so generally speaking, someone will come to me if they want a medical intuitive reading. I'm going to look at their physiology, their body. So I'm going to look at all their systems. I'm going to look at the specific issue, and I'm going to ask to see, and when I say ask, I'm going to ask their physical body to show me where the imbalance is. So, for example, if it's a heart issue, if someone has a cardiovascular issue, as if I'm looking at a movie screen in my mind's eye, I'm going to actually look at the physiology of their body. So I'm going to look at their heart beating. I'm going to look to see if the valves are closing and opening. I'm going to look to see if there's any plaque in the arteries. You know, I'm going to look at the lymphatic system and make sure their immunity is, you know, working well. I'm just going to look to see how everything is working down to the cellular level. That's really important to look at. So that's the what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And I can get information from their body about what some recommendations might be. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I do not diagnose and I do not prescribe, but what I can tell someone is what their body is, information their body is giving me for them to take to their healthcare practitioner, always. They want to get this checked out. So I can see where imbalances might be, energetic imbalance, physical imbalance. That's thing one. So it is a lot like looking at just a visual image. Now, it's not gory. It looks like kind of like drawings to me of anatomy. I do teach anatomy in the class. It's a very important piece. You have to know what you're looking at.
Yeah, that helps.
You want to know the difference between a kidney and a liver. You got to know what those things are and what they do.
Helpful.
Right. It's very helpful. But it's very simple. You don't need to have any background in this to do it.
Okay.
Right. So that's thing one. The second thing I'm going to do is ask the, if there's a heart imbalance, I'm going to say, okay, what else do I need to look at? So I want to look at the biofield as well. That's a good modernish term for the chakra and aura system. So if it's the heart, it might be the fourth chakra. So I'm going to ask to see what's going on in the fourth chakra. Is there any congestion? Now, the fourth chakra governs love, self-love, and love of others. So I can ask to see if there's any blockage in that area as well, if there's any blockages or congestion in the aura, and where they come from. And for me, it's always about where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about looking for the root of the issue. So on that imaginary screen in my mind's eye, I'm going to look at almost like home movies from someone's life, and I'm going to see how old they were when this imbalance began, if it was genetic, if it came from a past life, if it was some impact that happened in this life, how old were they, where were they, what was happening, who was around them. And I'm getting information literally like watching a movie. And their information is going to tell me what they need to know about this and how it's impacting them now, particularly in their physical issue or any other way. That information, Wendy, is like putting the pieces together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the puzzle of your own life. You know, how does this impact that? How did this turn out this way? That's how you find it out. And that's literally what I teach in my program, is how to do that.
Okay.
It's not that hard once you learn how to do it.
Okay.
And the information is pretty deep.
Well, see, that's what I'm picking up on. It's taken you how many years to get this? You know,
well, I've been a practicing clairvoyant for almost 20 years, but medical intuition specifically is a particular skill set that I've developed really over the past, I would say, 6 or 7 years, and I started teaching it about 5 years ago.
Okay,
professionally.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get back to, because, you know, going from the music industry and the other background, the corporate background, you segued and started following something that was really innate, something that was in you that before maybe didn't seem like you were going to, you know, make a living. Usually that's the issue.
Well, I mentioned I was teaching at the school I studied at. I'd been doing that for a long, long time, about 10 years, you know, several years prior.
Okay.
But so there was always that. I taught on the weekends. I went to my day job during the week. But I will tell you that people come to this from all over the map, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have... When we're kids, right, we can take after-school programs in sports or drama or drawing or playing an instrument. Well, there isn't an after-school program for intuition, is there?
No.
Right?
No, I would have signed up.
Yeah, I know, right? We all would have. Yeah. And it would have been a different world now if we had. But what we have now are people who are coming to this from just every possible sector of their own lives and their own experience, going, you know, there's something here. I want to find out what this is. I want to follow it up. I want to learn more. And that's what's exciting about this time now. And I look forward to a time in the future where we do have intuitive programs for kids, and intuition is not such a, you know, an odd thing to talk about.
Well, and to me, the reason I talk about it and I'm comfortable with it is because this is something that my family accepted. It wasn't a, oh, you're weird, you're that kind of thing. It was a, okay, well, what did you explore and what did you discover and what's going on with that? It was much more accepted. And so one of the classes I took when I'm doing all my research and all this good stuff, Miatek Wirkus, who was at one point visited the Menninger Institute in Topeka, and I think it's a Menninger Foundation. Anyway, it's Menninger's, how's that, was a short version. They studied people who had these amazing abilities, and he's somebody who was a Polish bioenergy practitioner, born in 1939. He was approved to do his bioenergy alongside physicians, I believe it was in 1982. And so he, this is something that for some of these other countries around the world, these kinds of issues are normal. They're real. He was gifted. He shares his information and his work and how to help people activate their own energy. And so that's why for us, this is, it's not a novelty. It's just something that needs more recognition and more awareness for people to start paying attention to what they're already doing.
Yes, absolutely. And I will tell you, that's so exciting. And I want you to know also, I'm sure you know this, that in Eastern Europe, China, Russia, there are actually people, like you say, doing this work, and it's well accepted in society. There are these machines and technical things that really do measure the biofield and affect the biofield. It's just now barely starting to catch on here. But this is honestly why I teach what I teach, because I want to teach doctors and nurses and people in the healthcare field learn how to use their intuition so they can use it with their patients and their clients, because it works so well. And it has such a holistic, a truly holistic perspective on healthcare. It is the holistic perspective.
Yeah, and part of it is, You become, I think, in a lot of ways, you become more comfortable, more secure in your own awareness and knowing, and not so frantic about, oh, what's this, what's that, you know, or I have this sense, and you jump to conclusions and have to have somebody else validate it. A lot of times, if you just sit back and say, okay, why is this happening? What have I been, you know, what is bothering me? What am I doing? What am I stressed about? Then it'll stop once you identify those issues. But there's still that anxiety, I think, that when you're not paying attention and tuning into that intuition and taking a step back, then you exacerbate the problem. And so that with you teaching it, those things I think you address when you're talking about permission, the healing power of, okay, you know, step back, let your body tell you what's going on too.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, people have asked me to give them some information for people who really are not going to be interested in taking the program or learning it on that deeper level. So I've created a whole series of audios, guided meditations on the website. And the one that really addresses what you're talking about is called Your Body's Wisdom. And it's on the website on the guided meditations page. And I really recommend people try that. It's a really short meditation, but it gets you into a place where you can start talking and listening to your body, your own body. And you'll find out that there's a lot of information it really wants to tell you.
Who were you influenced by when you started doing this, when you got into it?
Oh, well, you know, pretty much everybody has read Caroline Mace.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a good friend gave me the recordings, like audio tapes, this is how long ago it was, of her book, and I was blown away. Not her book, her speaking, some kind of lecture she gave. I was just knocked out. I didn't even know what this stuff was. I wouldn't have even called myself an intuitive. But I was just, it was a mind blower, and I went, I need to know more about this.
I remember interviewing her in the mid-90s, and I believe that was along the same line when Masaru Emoto was coming out with water information, and all this stuff was just so I think Dean Radin was one of the ones who was also out there. It was just, there was this, all of a sudden, this open door. Wayne Dyer, all these people, Dr. Brian Weiss, who he actually came to Kansas City and did a demonstration. He's the one who does the past life regressions. All these people were coming out and talking about these topics that, for you know, that had been in some way, shape, or form inaccessible until, you know, a certain time. I don't know who let the door open, but it happened.
So it was nice. About time.
It was
really
refreshing.
It was really overdue. And I'm thrilled that we have this. And I will just say, if anyone's coming, you mentioned IONS. I'm giving a spotlight talk there next in the next couple of weeks, whenever the conference is. And I do speak at places like ISEEM and some of these other wonderful organizations that are really promoting energy work and the understanding of intuition, intuitive states, and quantum theory and all this wonderful stuff.
Okay.
So I say yes to all of it.
And that's the thing, that now is so much with the internet and this kind of thing. You don't have to leave town. You have access to all of these things. We have to take a break. I do want to come back and ask you another question in terms of what you see and feel for the future with this kind of healing. How far can it go? Because some people are thinking psychic surgery, and that isn't quite what you do. But these abilities are pretty impressive. So if you could think about that while we take a little time out. I think they need to pay some bills here, so we're going to let them.
Sounds good.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio, KCMO. My guest, Wendy Coulter, The Practical Path. If you're interested in doing your own healing, your own, I guess, mind, body, spirit upgrade, sometimes it helps to get the extra out of the way, to kind of clear the slate, clean the slate. And in a way, you also have to say, it's okay, I'm done with it. Give yourself permission. So she was talking before the break about doing the meditation. So the first thing I want to recommend is, if you haven't done that kind of a meditation before, give it a try. Give it a try, because sometimes it's something that simple that allows your body to be receptive to healing. But with this, and the website, if you're listening right now, thepracticalpath.com. When I was asking you before, what do you see for the future? Do you see us being able to do a lot more intensive types of healing with this? I mean, I've heard people, some of the mystics, talk about it'd be so easy to heal with water. And then that Masaru Emoto, who was doing the water, diagnosing what water, how water responded, and had different kinds of images created because of whatever it was responding to in its environment. There's a lot to that if you go, you know, take it to that next step. Do you see this as being a lot more involved in our own day-to-day?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's how I see it. I'd like to see a medical intuitive on every staff of every hospital and every doctor's office. I'd like to see doctors learning this, nurses learning this, all healthcare professionals from the alternative side to the Western side having this skill, because the main problem I see in medicine of all kinds is tunnel vision. Everybody has their specialty. Everybody has their training. And getting outside of that is almost impossible unless you learn how to use your intuitive state. So imagine, along with me here, that you go to see your doctor and you have an issue. And before they even see you, as long as they know what you've got or what's going on, they can do a scan of your body. They can see where things are not working right or they need to be shorn up or whatever's going on. And then they can prescribe not just a medicine, for example, if that's going to work, but they can also say, here, take this prescription to this naturopath who's going to give you the herbs that are going to do the right thing for this specific thing. Take this prescription to a massage therapist who's going to work on this. This is holistic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
This is what medicine needs. And it's impossible to have one, let me see how I'm going to say this. I am not a medical person, and yet I can look at someone's body and say, you know what, acupuncture is going to work for this, but this over here is not, because their body's telling me. That's medical intuition. Now, they need to check it all with their healthcare provider. But if that was their healthcare provider telling them that, that would be very, very powerful.
Yes.
I mean, I would think it would be. So the thing that most people struggle with when we have a health issue is what the heck to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, I don't like to use this word because doctors hate it, but misdiagnosis is a major problem. And it's not because doctors are negligent necessarily. It's because not enough time is being taken, or not enough awareness is there, or not enough understanding of what else is available to people and what might work. So all of these things are all kind of addressed in medical intuition quite well. So this is why I get excited when I teach doctors and nurse practitioners and people who have diagnostic ability.
I think there's also, when it comes to doctors, there's also the fear factor. There's an anxiety of when you know something isn't working right and you're thinking, oh, what could it be? There's the hypochondriac kind of thing. Or there's just the thing of the unknown. What could it be? And then if you get on the internet and find out it could be all these awful things.
Yeah.
Scare yourself.
And that's the other thing. That's the thing. You want your healthcare providers to have that holistic view for you. Because it's impossible to get it for yourself if you're in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have a health challenge, right away we're in fear, pardon me. And that's a normal human response. And it's for some people it's impossible to say, well, just sit down and meditate and you'll figure it out. That's not going to work for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want your healthcare provider to be that trusted source that can really give you the broad 360 view of what's going on for you. That's mind, body, and spirit all together. And that's where I see medicine going, to be totally honest, to answer your question. And that's where I want to see medicine going. And I believe that there is a push for that right now in integrative medicine, in functional medicine, in the fact that energy healers are being more respected now. They're being brought into hospitals. This is a good trend.
Yes, I'm excited about it. I do, and I know other people who are being very much involved and invited to be involved in conjunction with healthcare practitioners, and that's a fabulous thing because some of the things I've seen them do are pretty phenomenal. What I wanted to ask you, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I was going to say is I teach a lot of energy practitioners because it's a perfect fit for whatever their modality is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to say about your music. Because if you were a kid and the music was right there, where is it in your life now? It hasn't gone away.
I don't usually talk about this on the radio. I am still involved in music. I transitioned to freelance composer a while ago, and I still do keep my hand in, honestly, when I have spare time, which is very little these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do love music. I always will.
Well, that's my thing. If you were hearing it as a kid like that, then it had to be a part of you. It had to have come along with the primary code, the prime directive. Okay, you're going to be musical. One way or the other, it's going to sing. And I think it's fantastic that you knew, oh, Mom, turn the radio on because I want to hear this song and it's playing. I'm going to miss it if you don't turn the channel. Like, wow. That was a music calling you.
It certainly was, and it's called me my whole life. And again, you know, a lot of people, it turns out a lot of people in the metaphysical field are musical or musicians. That's sort of a funny commonality we seem to all have in some way.
Well, I think it's healing. I think, and that's why drumming and that's why other things are so important and powerful because it gets you into that state of mind where you're kind of in between. You're not judging. You're neutral. And music is a way to do that. And that's, you know, the guided meditations. It's really important, the kind of music that you play and you listen to and that you expose yourself to. It's a powerful medium. And I do think with you having that background, that's also another part of your healing ability. And you just kind of like, it's there. It's really there. But that's why, like, I had to ask because it seems that that's...
It's a great question. Thank you for asking me, Wendy. It's music. I identify as a musician for sure. And music is just a language I speak without thinking about it anymore, but that's because I've been doing it since I was quite, quite young. But that's also, interestingly, intuition. People who are naturally intuitive and don't feel get squashed by it in their lives grow up with another tool in their hands called intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And the message I have for everyone is, you don't have to even have an awareness of your own intuitive ability. You just trust that you have it because we all have it. We're humans. We're born with it. And with that, you can develop it. See, if I never took a music lesson, I might just enjoy music, but I might not have become a musician. And that's the same thing with intuition. If you never take an intuition lesson, you might just sort of have it in your sphere, but you may not develop it to the point where you can actually use it as a tool.
And that's what I've heard some of the people, I've read so much, just so much, and sometimes I can actually put names with it. Usually the most recent stuff I'm good at, but that's like Carolyn Mace, where you say, I'm like, oh, no, what was the name of the book? So I finally, the internet's here, so I'm like, okay, there you go, yeah. And but it's that kind of thing. There's so much volumes of information out there. Lynn Buchanan, I referenced him earlier, because I've been reading his stuff most recently. Ingo Swann, some of the other guys I've been studying up on with that new, the Psychic Spies, they're doing a film on that. And what he said is, you know, people come up to him all the time and say, I'm psychic. And he says, okay, how's that working for you?
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, the name of my company is The Practical Path.
Yes.
And my attitude and my perspective has always been, if it's not practical for you, if it doesn't enhance your life, if it's not something that you can look at and go, this is really useful for me, then, you know, for me, I leave it alone. I mean, I grew up in California where there's everything under the sun here.
Yeah.
So you have to be discerning and make some decisions about where you're going to put your energy and focus. And that's why I teach practical, intuitive skills. You can call them spiritual. They are. They have that, absolutely have that component as a base. But they are literally practical skills you want to use every day in your life. And certainly if you're a healer or a practitioner, use it in your practice.
Well, for my thing, a lot of the people that I've come into contact with are lay people. They're not going to go professional. This is the kind of stuff that even if you're not planning on doing that, you will help yourself because it gives you another way of viewing your own, your personal health issues and doing your own assessment on a regular basis that you can trust because it's coming from the source. You know your issues. You don't have to go through a third party.
Yes, it's really important that people, I mean, if trusting your gut or trusting your intuition, trusting your gut is like the most basic way you can say it. Trusting your intuition.
Batten down the hatches, a pension soon not.
Sorry, the commercials keep jumping in.
We've got
40 seconds left, so.
Okay. All I can say is for everyone who wants to develop their intuitive state, the best thing you can do for yourself is learn how to meditate and have a daily meditation practice of any kind.
All
meditation
right.
Seems to get that wheel rolling, you know?
Hey, Wendy, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And the commercials, they've been running amok tonight. It's that energy, the energy. So,
woohoo!
All right, for you listening, we are going to wrap up Wendy's Coffee House, Blogspot. We'll put the links there for Wendy. And then practicalpath.com. It's Wendy Coulter. All right? Medical Intuitive.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you for listening. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.